Good morning. I'm Joe Woody, the Chief Executive Officer of Avanos. It's my pleasure to be here today. I thank you for your interest in Avanos, for those of you that are here live in the room, and, of course, those that are listening on the webcast. I'm excited to tell a story about our accelerated growth, our strategy, and, frankly, how we're creating value in the business. Of course, I will be making forward-looking statements, as you nonetheless have heard through all the presentations you've seen. Forward-looking information and non-GAAP financial measures, please refer to this slide. You can also check our website at avanos.com and investor relations or look at our SEC filings. Last year, I said we would be a completely different company than you had experienced, and from Halyard, we became Avanos, and we are a pure-play medical device company, and I believe a completely different company. We are a global company with $650 million in revenue and now in two franchises, pain management and chronic care. We have a broad portfolio with a large addressable market you can see in the bottom left-hand side of the slide, and we are a global business, but what you can note is that our international business today is only about 25% of our total revenue, so there's a great opportunity for us to translate the success we've had in the U.S. to our international business. We do have market-leading portfolios in the U.S. and products that are in number one or number two positions across our portfolio, which is important for sustainability of our growth and a long runway. We are definitely creating shareholder value, really in three areas: organic growth, cost transformation, and M&A execution. And around organic growth, you can think of it in terms of COOLIEF and expanded coverage, which I'll come on to, which is a catalyst for our business. Acute pain adoption of surgeons utilizing the ON-Q product, and our international acceleration, having hired a new manager and put strategic plans and investment in place. We've talked about our cost transformation in terms of $30 to $40 million in cost coming out of the business in the next 3 years, and we're progressing that well. I'll talk more about that. And M&A execution, we really have the same capacity in hand to deploy capital for M&A, and we made one acquisition this year as we were delivering the TSAs to OMI. I think we've built sources of strength in the business, and it's really around the investment for accelerating our growth. It's what we're doing and beginning to do in R&D, and it's a demonstrated capability in M&A. And at the bottom of this slide, all that's really driving a catalyst for us that get us to the growth that we'd like to get to, which is from mid-single digit to high single digit. And then we've talked to investors about double-digit top line and double-digit earnings growth as we push to 2021. The investments around direct-to-patient advertising for COOLIEF have been great. We're getting a 35% response rate. And in the industry, a top-end response rate is 25%. And we're learning how to direct those patients to payers. We have increased our clinical investments, and we'll talk about seven clinical studies that are in place for this year that are primarily driven to drive expansion in COOLIEF, and we are building our international framework. Some of you met Lee Burns, our head of R&D, in May in New York City. He's hired 15 PhDs in neuroscience and biomedical engineering, and they've already produced something that we're proud of, which is we were one of the eight winners of the FDA's Opioid Addiction Innovation Challenge for technology around machine learning and AI so that anesthesiologists can visualize nerves better in placement of catheters for pumps. Our M&A capability is a proven muscle. I think just divesting and having spun out and all the integration TSAs associated with that. Obviously, we've made some bolt-on acquisitions in CorPak as well as Game Ready. And for our size of a company, we have a unique ability with a large and healthy balance sheet for some company of our size. When you think about a long-range plan or you think about a new strategy, you know, whether it's around the commercial execution or what we're doing to improve our cost base, you always have to look at what you've achieved each year as you've laid it out. And I've been happy with our accomplishments in 2018. We did deliver double-digit growth in our interventional pain business and high single-digit growth to date across chronic care. We have continued to invest in growth drivers, not only in clinical studies and in reimbursement and in strategic marketing for our business, but also in expanding our sales force and our clinical selling structure. And we have launched our cost transformation, and this year you'll start to see the deployment of our new IT system, which we have characterized as reducing our IT costs by about 50%. You can't look at 2018 and not note that we did, in fact, close the SNIP divestiture, and I think we're most proud of the fact that the TSAs are going well, and that's very important because it allows for non-disruption in our business. And, of course, we did announce Game Ready, that acquisition. I was happy that we were able to deploy capital and do an acquisition while we were delivering the TSAs, and this fits our orthopedic pain and healing strategy that we've talked about in pain. When you think about our business and you think about our products, these are important products that affect the healthcare system and patients. So if you think for a minute about pain management, there are 100 million Americans that live in chronic pain. This could be spine pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. It might keep them from just simple activities like going up the stairs or getting out of bed or picking up their grandchildren or walking along or just even walking or playing golf as they retire. And COOLIEF has really been an excellent product for these patients, giving them long pain relief without opioids. All of you are familiar as well with the opioid crisis in the country, and dependency can begin within 3 days. And ONCUS is an important part of post-surgical pain treatment to alleviate the utilization of opioids. Chronic care is equally an important business for healthcare systems, especially when you think of our respiratory business and hospital-associated pneumonia, or the fact that patients with acute conditions, a third of them that enter the hospital, are malnourished and need feeding tubes. So do pediatric patients, in fact, abdominal enteral feeding tubes. And these are life and death situations, which is why I believe this business is so sticky, and the clinical evidence we have behind it and the way we service our accounts is so important. So, again, it really affects the healthcare system, frankly, and the patients and their outcomes with really good health economic deliveries. And we're very focused on getting patients back to the things that matter. I want to just shift gears a little bit and talk about our individual businesses and give you an indication of our market dynamics and our value drivers. You know, we're very excited about interventional pain, 100 million Americans living with chronic pain, a large addressable market of $4 billion, a leading market share of 30%. It is our fastest growing business, and COOLIEF is the only FDA-cleared RF treatment for OA knee pain. We are doing well with that business in spine, shoulder, and hip, and that's been indicated by our success quarter to quarter and the high double-digit growth of that business. Where we're going to start to focus more is on the OA treatment for knee pain, and I just want to focus on that for a few minutes. We think this is really a catalyst for the COOLIEF business that can take the growth that we have today and make it more exponential. And we have a plan really throughout 2018 and 2019 and 2020 and beyond to make sure that we're positioned well. So you can think of 18 was a year where we funded clinical studies, including a hyaluronic acid comparison study. We invested a lot in government relations and reimbursement, and we initiated our direct-to-patient advertising. In 2019, you can expect us to report out now on these clinical studies, both in hyaluronic acid and in the health economics and the SI health studies. We've added salespeople in anticipation of further growth for this segment, and we will further expand our direct-to-patient advertising. In 2020 and beyond, in January of 2020, we're working toward a Cat 1 CPT code for established for genicular nerve ablation, and this is going to allow us to have reimbursement for Medicare and allow us to articulate our story differently to private payers as well. And think of it in terms of an approach for clinical studies, the awareness for patients, getting better coverage and expertise that will lead to even further breakthrough growth. And I can't say it enough. I've said it in a number of investor calls and investor meetings that I believe we're going to show a better solution for the treatment of OA over hyaluronic acid, and that opens us up to a $1 billion market. So it's a very important thing that we're tracking and a very important thing that we're preparing for. Acute pain is the larger portion of our pain business. Again, a $4 billion addressable market, greater than 20 million target U.S. procedures, and a 75% market share in terms of pain pumps where we participate. What drives this business is a proven reduction in opioid use, and we have that in our indication, our FDA label. It is a very sought-after solution to combat the opioid crisis, and we feel like we have a holistic approach to our customers with a good selling organization as well as a clinical selling organization as well. We're developing additional solutions to make it easier to use the product, and I think that was highlighted in the Innovation Award from the FDA. This business slowed in 2019, but we're regaining momentum in the business, and it was largely due to the industry-wide drug shortage and the regulatory issues facing fillers. And we sell pumps. We don't manufacture drug, and we don't fill pumps, but we've taken an active approach to help in this supply chain issue over the year, and there's really been a three-prong approach. We've continued to convert surgeons and accounts, especially around orthopedics, throughout the year, several hundred. We did progress a partnership with Leiters that's exclusive so that we could direct customers to a filler. Right now, one of the very few fillers that is up and running and does not have a regulatory issue. And then we took an approach to innovate ourselves, ways that maybe pharmacists and hospitals can fill these pumps in different ways more quickly. So I'm happy with the progress that I'm seeing, the progress with Leiters. And, you know, we are seeing that probably as we get into Q2, of 2019, a lot of the supply will be beyond us and certainly into the second half of 2019. So we're very pleased with that. Chronic care is our largest business. It's very important to us. It delivers consistent mid-single-digit growth and generates significant cash flow and EBITDA for our business. Digestive health has a large addressable market of $900 million. In the U.S., we have an 85% market share in leading balloon G-tube areas. We can really leverage a strong position here. I think what's driving the business is the alternative site success where we're selling outside of the hospital, and then CorPak becoming a standard of care and visualizing for digestive health where you place the tubing. There's a big international opportunity for us, and that's where you'll see the greater portion of the growth in this business going forward. Respiratory health is equally in a large addressable market, greater than 90% market share in closed suction. Really, the supporting the clinicians around the VAP protocols for hospital-acquired pneumonia is where we really have a sweet spot in this marketplace. And again, expanding in alternative sites, meaning outside of the hospital, as well as accelerating our international growth. But when you think of a catalyst, I've talked about COOLIEF. Another real catalyst for growth for us is investing in developing international. And we're going to focus on a number of geographies for, I think, better outcomes: United Kingdom, Germany, France, Japan, Brazil, and India. And I did announce Arjun Sarkar as the Senior Vice President of International this year, leading the business. He's heavily focused at the moment on hiring regional management, hiring for customer-facing roles, hiring for strategic marketing and support functions, and really building an organization. We've highlighted to investors that today 70% of our channel is distribution, and he'll be changing that to go direct in those focused geographies. So Arjun spends a lot of time on the go-to-market strategy, looking at how to optimize our channels and rationalize our channel partners. This is a $130 million business for us that, if you look at the bottom of the slide, in 2017 was low single digit. This year it's going to be more like mid-single digit. We would expect Argent to progress this business to high single digit this year. And then as we hit 2020, we expect that this to be a consistent double-digit grower, which it should be for the size of business and for the success of these technologies and the clinical support behind them. We do have a proven approach to M&A. I think anybody that looks at our thesis and invests in our company knows that obviously the organic growth is important, the cost out is important, but equally important is the deployment of our capital, of which most of it remains intact from the sale of SNIP. We've just highlighted Game Ready just so that you can take a look on the left-hand side of the slide to see that, you know, we are oriented to strategic acquisitions that we think can accelerate our sales growth. This particular acquisition mapped well with orthopedic pain and healing. It's going to allow us to do some increased investment in areas of breakthrough that we think we can help the business. And, of course, they have an international business, and we're trying to build our international capabilities. When you think of the $750 million of acquisition capacity, again, I'll say it again, for a company of our size, that's very powerful and an important part of our story. What I like is the organization has exercised the muscle of M&A in several ways. The original spin of the business, obviously the divestiture of SNIP, the acquisition of CorPak, and now the acquisition of Game Ready. We do have a large pipeline of acquisitions. and we certainly are exploring new and adjacent markets and call points. But one of the things I want to be clear about is that we look at all sizes of acquisitions. So while we have a history of bolt-ons, we're also looking at large acquisitions. Large for us could be a $200, $300 million, or $400 million dollar acquisitions, and these are acquisitions that I think can really change the profile for us, including scale, and get us into very high growth areas that are strategic for our business. So as we move through 2019, we're starting to get further away from the close of the SNIP sale. We're delivering the TSAs and starting to close some of them out. We'll begin to deploy our IT system, and you know, we'll be looking at differentiated acquisition as we go into 2019. I'll spend a little bit of time about talking about transforming our cost base, and this is a slide that we have highlighted before, but there's really sort of three areas where we're focused on costs: our organization, information technology, and operations. And certainly around the organization, once we're through the TSAs and have our IT system in place, we'll have an opportunity to right-size our organization. We're looking at spans and layers. And really, you'll see us more aligned with the top quartile ratios, if you will, of corporate costs and SG&A for our business, because we won't be prohibited from taking those actions, and we have specific plans in place. And that will then allow us, obviously, to leverage our scale. We're excited about 2019 because we're starting to deploy our new ERP system, and it's a great opportunity for us to have a cloud-based off-the-shelf system with a phased implementation. And I think we've said a number of times it's going to reduce our IT costs by about 50%. And we did add a new leader in our manufacturing and supply chain. His name is Dave Ball. I worked with him at Acelity. He also has a background with Hillrom and GE, and he has a very focused background in cost reduction and running PMOs for cost reduction. And there's a lot of opportunity for us in distribution efficiencies and taking Lean Six Sigma to the shop floor in our factories, tackling waste, and really he'll have an eye as well on the execution of the streamlining of our corporate functions and our commercialization. I think it's important for investors to just, you know, look at the bottom of the slide here and see the phasic approach. This year you can expect $7 to $10 million in savings, and then we'll move that up to $14 to $18 million in 2020. And then in 2021, we're highlighting $9 to $12 million for the total of $30 to $40. But maybe the most important part of the slide is the arrow at the bottom on continuous improvement. We're not going to stop here. Dave is going to be responsible, along with the senior leadership team, in implementing continuous improvement throughout our organization. And our goal is to move beyond this over time and be able to talk about that in the coming quarters and years. So it's a great opportunity for us, obviously, to leverage our P&L and improve drop-through. So our thesis remains intact. I think we've had, all in all, a strong year. I think we have the right framework for delivering future double-digit growth in the business and double-digit EPS. I thought it was important just to look at 19, 20, and 21. In 19, you can expect, and you are hearing in the calls, that we're continuing to invest in priority areas to enhance growth areas like cool leaf areas, like reimbursement and clinical studies, which is really important, as you know, for a medical device company, and really hasn't been the case over the years for this organization at the level that we are now and the focus that we are now. You can also expect in 19 more M&A, and we have a disciplined approach to this. But I think we'll broaden the scope of the type of M&A that you've seen in the past. And then in 2020, we'll continue to right-size our structure. Again, a benefit for us in terms of drop-through in the business. That's when you'll start to see the sales at the international level move more to the double-digit rate. And then in 2021, that's the time frame that investors are aware will progress from mid-single-digit growth to high single-digit organic growth with the acquisitions in place as well. There's where you move into the double-digit top line. And then lastly, in 2021, we talked in May in New York at our investor conference about breakthrough projects, and Lee Burns presented three projects which will be additive to this progression in the business. So we're working hard at accelerating innovation and growth. We want category leadership, and we are certainly investing in people and performance. I appreciate your interest in Avanos, and I look forward to chatting with a few of you and hopefully seeing you in the Q&A session. Thank you very much.